Well, hello, and we welcome you back again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. These Bible teachings are brought to you by the Wash and Word. That is a hand car washing business currently located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center. And there we own, my wife and I own this hand car washing business. And you can listen to these messages there while you're getting your car washed. We play them on a loop on 107.1 FM. Or you can go to washandword.com. That's our website. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information you'd like about this business and about this ministry. Also there you can download and listen to these messages for free. So let us get back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are about to start chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. And in our last message, I spent an extensive amount of time trying to make you understand that this is a true, actual event that happened to Jonah, and that there are implications surrounding this that apply to our life today. And the two that we looked at yesterday, and we got them from chapter 1, verse 17, where it says that Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. And we thought, we mentioned two things that, you know, one, there are times where our prayers require perseverance. That is, that God wants us to continue to lift up these prayers, especially if they haven't been answered yet. There are times where God wants us to continually pray to Him and for that thing. And God will allow trials in our lives so that our hearts and our minds will change. But then there are other times where God will answer a prayer, and the moment we pray that prayer, God answers it in a second. But see, it's oftentimes, it takes a long time sometimes, especially with hard hearts, to get to the place where that prayer gets answered. In other words, we could be praying for a while, we can be persistent in our prayer, but all the while God is doing something to us in the meantime. Perhaps we've yet to descend to that lower level of humility He's trying to get us to, or He has yet to get our minds to be changed where our thinking is about somebody else instead of about ourselves, where the prayer that we're constantly and continually praying about, that thing where, you know, the glory for that prayer or for the answer to that prayer is in the wrong place. And so it takes time sometimes for our lives to get to that position where God is able to answer the prayer. But there are times where that prayer is perfect and right from the second that it is prayed. And we saw that, a couple examples where, you know, we saw with Peter sinking, you know, he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately he was saved. And the man who said, "I believe," in Mark 9, the boy's father, you know, the boy was healed at that moment. So God does answer prayers quickly and instantly, and sometimes it takes us a little while to get there. But whether Jonah prayed for three whole days before God answered him, you know, as he worked on Jonah's heart, or maybe at the end of the third day, Jonah prayed once, we do know this. The moment Jonah prayed, God started to work. And friends, that is a lesson in our own lives that we could take. The moment we pray, God begins to work. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, Jonah's prayer. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord God, the Lord his God. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Before we get into the prayer, I want to ask you a question. Where do you pray? Or maybe more succinctly, do you even pray really that much at all? And I'm not talking about sitting down for a meal and saying grace, or about to go on a journey and you pray for travel mercies, but do you really pray? Do you really spend time alone with God in silence, waiting on the Holy Spirit to form that prayer within your heart? Do you spend time waiting in quiet solitude on the Lord to reveal Himself to you? And friends, there's an old saying, the belly of the beast. You know, I was in the belly of the beast. And that comes from this book. And the belly of the beast is a common place where people pray. And why not? It's like that old phrase that came to popularity in World War II, where someone once said, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, it's in that belly of the beast where we find ourselves oftentimes looking up at God saying, you know what? I have no other option. And God gets our attention because his number one important thing is not your comfort, but it is your life giving glory to him. Now that may sound a little narcissistic, but friends, that's what you and I have been put on this earth to do. We have been put on this earth to put our faith in Jesus Christ and to bring glory to God through our lives. And the problem is that this entire world system is set up to bring glory to ourselves. And the changing from the stinking thinking to the right thinking is sometimes a very long and painful process. Yesterday, I labeled chapter 2. I don't normally title my messages or my sermons, but I labeled it from stinking thinking to smelly belly. And there he was in the belly of this whale, and he began to pray. Now, there is nothing wrong with seeking God when you're in the depths of a trial or in the belly of the beast, as it were. And in fact, some of the best prayers that I have ever prayed are prayers that I have been down in the lowest places of my life. Because friends, there is where you realize who you are and really who you aren't. And when you are blessed enough that God would show you yourself, the words that begin to utter out of your mouth in the depths of that humble foxhole or that pit of despair, those are some of the best prayers you could possibly pray. Let's look at verse 2. It says that Jonah said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." I'll stop right there. God listens when we pray. Not only does he listen, but he answers. And sometimes God's answers are not always God's actions. In other words, the prayer has been answered, but the actions are yet to be experienced. And again, when we get to that humble place where he is the center of our attention, we pray, God listens, and God acts. I remember driving home one time, and it was dark, it was cold, and I hit a patch of black ice, and I started to lose control. Thankfully, that black ice ended, and I was able to regain my control. But after I hit that patch of black ice, my heightened awareness for any more ice during my travels was at an all-time high. Like, I mean, I was looking out for it with a heightened sense of, you know, where's the next patch going to be? But I don't always drive like that. In fact, time goes by and miles go by and you stop thinking about the black ice. You know, we sing a song sometimes, but a while back, it was called Desperate for You. And, you know, and in that song, we are crying out to God in a desperate, you know, you are the air that I breathe kind of way. Why can't we be desperate for God all day, every day? You know, why can't we feel like we're in the belly of the beast at the lowest point of our life? Why can't we feel like that all the time? Because when I was there, or when you were there, were you not the closest you've ever been to God during the most difficult trials of your life? And so you say, why can't I just stay like that? Why can't I stay that in touch with God? You might say, well, that's impossible because life is too consuming. There's too much going on that for us to stay at that point in that heightened state of awareness, as it were, and in that mode of connection and communication and communion with God. And I know, friends, that realistically that seems impossible, but I have seen people that are broken before the Lord, who even after years of service and trials and brokenness, they live desperate for the Lord. It can be achieved. The thing is, most of us don't really want the cost of what it takes to be desperate for God every single moment of every single day, because there is a cost involved. Listen to this true story. During the 30-year war in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night, as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of the scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then, going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Though waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night end soon in joyous day. It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses our sufferings and troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see his truth, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive new hope. Are you in a great trial today? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing. He will give you a song in the night. Friends, listen. Willingness to be broken creates desperation. But it's a godly desperation. You have to be willing to be broken to be desperate for God. You can't have the world. You cannot put your hands to the plow and look back. You cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. The idea that God is trying to place into the human mind is that we must be broken, or at least willing to be broken, to foster that desperation for God every second of every day, and there is a cost. You couple that willingness to be broken with the desperation for God, and you couple that with what Jonah did here. Look at verses 2 through 5. He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. And from the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very hearts of the sea, and the currents swirled around me. All of your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed is wrapped around my head. And we'll stop there for a moment. So what is Jonah doing inside the belly of the whale? He is remembering from the depths from which he came. He's remembering that place that he was at before the whale swallowed him, with the waves and the seaweed and the storm. And he turned himself toward the holy temple. And it was then that God sent, or as the Bible says in verse 17, provided a great fish. And sometimes it is our trials that are actually the provision. Sometimes it is the suffering and the trial that we go through that is the answer to the prayer. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he, folks? Sometimes we have to do like Jonah and remember from the depths from which we came. To be desperate for the Lord at all times, not just when you're sliding on black ice or you're sinking in the water or you're in the belly of the beast, but to be desperate for God at all times calls for two things: a willingness to be broken and a remembrance of the depths from which God has rescued you. I want to close by reading these words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but here it is. Remember, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That's all the time I have. Have a blessed day.